This is The Foxhole Ship, a podcast episode written and performed by Mistborn Hero, directed by Opal Song. A All for the King fusion into the One Piece universe, where they are a pirate crew, featuring all of the foxes, with cameos from other characters from both canons. The search for the One Piece introduced an era full of pirates and adventurers. Few are more notorious than the Straw Hat crew, but my absolute favorite of the crews that almost got the One Piece are the foxes. For those of you who have never heard of them, the Fox was the crew of the Foxhole, led by Captain Dan the Fox Wilds, and made up of 10 people. The crew first made their way into the Grand Line from the East Blue at much the same time the Straw Hats did. In fact, Captain Dan recorded in her log that they were both at Logtown on the same exact day. They had just picked up their newest member, Neil Justin, who would later become one of the core people of their nakama, and he almost was not. Apparently, they had been looking to fill their vacancy with someone else, but events left them scrambling. We have found correspondence between former Captain Waymack and a Hernandez from Millport, where Hernandez recommended the guy for the Fox crew. I, for one, am glad that they decided to take him in. Their foray into the Grand Line was mostly smooth. Kevin Day was famous for being able to navigate without a log post, and very few of the foxes were true natives of the East Blue. The crew had not one, but three mare, and Dan herself was a mink from So, like me. And that's without getting into the personal histories of the other members that had taken them out of the East Blue, even those who had been born there. The transition to the Grand Line, then, was pretty smooth, but not without issues. Dan herself detailed the divide in her crew between the monsters and the crew that had the most seniority on the ship. With the addition of Neil, who seemed to be bonding with both subgroups, things were improving, but not fast enough. From Logtown through Paradise, there are multiple reports of infighting. A truly notable one happened in Alabasta, where Seth lost most of their treasure to gambling in one of Crocodile's casinos. Neil famously paid someone to knock him out to avoid talking while under the influence, because at the time the kid had some big secrets from the crew. It all culminated in Jaya, where after a pretty unremarkable fight with Bellamy the Hyena, Seth broke off to join Blackbeard. Remember that, because it will be important later. They made it to Savaody in the window of time that got them labeled as part of the Worst Generation. Dan herself settled into the 12 supernovas with high bounties to reach the new world. They also managed to leave just in time to avoid the consequences of the Straw Hat's kidnapping of a celestial dragon. But we have proof from a few Navy officials and in Dan's own captain log that they only managed to just get away because of Kevin's refract route and the fact that they got there early enough to get their ship coded. Fishman Island may have been the home of Nikki the Harpist, but it was not a warm welcome that they got when they made their way underwater. There's not much information detailing what exactly happened down there, but not even a day later, The crew was back in the surface to rescue Andrew from a slave auction. And this is where Rico Morijima enters officially. The Morijimas, for those who don't know, were a very strict family of celestial dragons that firmly believed that only the firstborn was worthy to keep the line going. This, of course, led to the cast-off of Rico, who did not like being just a noble. He joined the Marines, where he was treated pretty well, and he was promised Kevin Day, Nathaniel Winsninski, and Jean Marone as his bodyguards, something that he knew and took to be fact. His own journals explain that he knew Kevin was just taking a little break before going back to him, and Rico was being generous by letting him take it. However, Nathaniel Winsninski lacked the proper understanding of his place in the world. He gave Neil an offer where he would join the Ravens and make sure Andrew was freed from the slavers, or they could lose Andrew and be systematically destroyed. Neil accepted that he was Nathaniel and left with Rico, who, little shit that he was, did nothing to free Andrew, and even left guards for the slave auction so that the rest of the foxes couldn't get in. Lucky for us, things didn't go that well for him either. Neil had agreed to join him, but his attitude apparently left so much to be desired that he threw him into Impel Down just a day later. Which is, coincidentally, just in time for Straw Hat Luffy to set off the largest breakout the prison saw in its entire history, and give him a place in the Summit War, where he saved Fire Fist Ace, though at the time thought dead, and revealed to the world, and apparently his crew, that he had the Misu fruit. Now, quick break to talk about fruits, because the Misu fruit is fascinating. We all know the prize. Great powers for your ability to swim and a general weakness to water. So how exactly does a Logia water fruit just exist? I personally have no idea, but it is fascinating. I've scoured every source and it seems like it can survive in the water if he's in a water state. But if he gets into water while in a physical state, he succumbs like any other fruit user. Neat, right? Once the Summit War was over and everyone was separated and hiding, Neil managed to make his way back to the foxes. Did you know they were the first of the worst generation to take on an emperor and not be completely or partially obliterated? Because they were. It didn't take them long to find where Andrew was sold to. Big Mom famously relished having people of all sorts in her position. Getting off Halfmare was notable enough that she put Andrew inside her vault, where he saw and memorized her red poneglyph with one glance. And once the crew was together with Neil again, they set out for Whole Cake Island directly. Thanks to Kevin for his perfect sense of direction. Some days, historians might figure out if it was a side effect of the refract fruit, or if he was just that good. But speaking of foxes who are just that good, we could highlight some of the least talked of members for this operation. Shipwright and formerly disowned noble Alison Reynolds was able to secure an invite to host the Empress on Sugar Island, where Matt cooked well enough to entertain everyone there. And when he failed, Nikki stepped in to charm everyone with his harp. No one even suspected Neil to be sneaking his way in to free their crewmen until they were well on their way to leaving. They might have been caught then and punished, if not for Rinne causing the whole island to caramelize in an instant, leaving everyone frozen under a thin layer of hardened sugar. Unobliterated but definitely shaken, the foxes, like a few of the smarter crews, took a break while things settled down after the summit war. The loss of Whitebeard shook the world during that time, and Firefist was believed to have perished as well. Things got dangerous fast, and it was not a great time to make a name for your crew if you had only 10 people. The foxes went back to gracing the new school front pages a year later, with exploits such as destroying a navy base built on a ghost-worshipping island, or that time, Rena broke from the crew just long enough to kidnap Jean Moreau from Rico, who later turned up with Jeremy Knox, joining the Trojans on the Sunshine ship, not to be confused with the Straw Hat's Sunny. But my personal opinion is that the most important event that happened, almost 2 years after the Summit War, is when they were lured into Dressrosa by a cipherpole operation led by Neil's father, Nathan. They did not get a red panic leaf as they had hoped, but they did get internal drama sorted. This is also the first time we get Navy reports of Neil using the Misumisu to control blood. It is also the first time Firefist Ace is seen fighting, which must mean he had been undergoing some thorough recovery in the hands of Aaron. And this is where their fight with Rico clashes straight against the Straw Hat's fight against Blackbeard. All three crews had all the red panic leaves they needed to actually find the One Piece. They just had to get past each other. There were team-ups all over the place. Frankie and Allison managed to combine their already giant robot forms to make a massive robot that could take on actual giants and win. Alliances were reformed and broken. Firefist broke his temporary Fox membership to join up with his brothers in what was a very emotional reunion, and Seth deserted Blackbeard after loudly declaring that even Kevin would be a better pirate king than Blackbeard. It took a few years for him to actually be integrated back into the foxhole, but he did show his loyalty at just the right time. Neil managed to defeat Rico in this fight, but Rico tried to drown him just seconds before dying. Thankfully, Andrew saved him just in time and left Rico to fall to the ocean floor. I firmly believe that the reason that the Straw Hats got to Laugh Tale first isn't any of that Nika nonsense that believers prattle, but the fact that Luffy had recruited Nika or Robin who could read and decipher planiglyphs at a glance, unlike literally anyone else in the world at the time. But maybe your opinion differs. Feel free to tell me about that in the comments. But that's the video for today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to things, and we'll be back next week with the Fox's exploits after the One Piece was found. And later, we might delve into my second underrated pirate crew. See if you can guess who that is. The end. This has been created for Pod Together 2024 for the Pensieve project, where a bunch of us brainstorm possible ideas for a fic, and then Opal writes it with, like, the fastest speed I can imagine. I could not do what she does. Props to her, the fic was amazing. We get it in, like, disordered pieces, and we can only read them once. And then we have to put them together however we want to. Actually, when I was putting together the timeline for this, I had a moment where I thought I completely imagined Sabaody the second time where they fight Rico and the slavery things, because why would they be in Sabaody twice? And then I figured out that Yeah, they went to Fishman Island, had things explode there, and then had to go back to fix them, and then they went to, like, chill for the 2-year time jump. Luckily, I think I had enough knowledge for both canons to sort of know where things were going, even if I didn't fully remember some things. And yeah, I can't wait to see what all the other people did, because I'm pretty sure I was the most familiar with both canons. So yeah, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I hope you do check those out too, and even if you don't, thank you for listening to mine, and please remember to drink some water today.